Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We at Fatinize pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this land we record on today. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello everyone and welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Fatinize podcast. We are back for a brand new season. Oh, it feels good to be back in front of the mic, to be talking some shit. Those of you that are new to the show, I'm your host, Demi Lynch, and basically, Fatinize is where we talk about the issues, frustrations, taboos that has to do with being a fat bitch. And, I am so excited to get back onto the show, get back onto doing these episodes, and... I'm thrilled to have our first guest for the season, which is Shayla Taylor. She is a photographer and she has been on the show before to talk about her experiences working at City Chic, which we'll go into in a moment. Shayla Taylor, my dear, my love. Hello, how are you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk with you again.
Last time you were on the show, you... just spilled the motherfucking tea when it came to your experience at City Chic.
No NDA, it's all coming out.
And I have to say, it was, and it still is, the most popular episode we've ever had on the show.
Honestly, like, I think it's because the plus size community is so fucking frustrated with City Chic, and we've been waiting for things to change for like 10 years, and they still just keep doing the same shit. And repeating the same design and just expecting us to eat that shit up. And so I feel like the community is so, so frustrated. And that was what I heard a lot. So I got a lot of messages from former staff from all over Australia who had had exactly the same experiences that I had had, which just shows you that it's like a culture that comes from the top. You know what I mean? Like, you might have a great store manager who loves you and works really hard to shield you from it, but at the end of the day, the way that the managers and staff are treated comes from the top down. And that's because they don't really give a fuck about us. But yes.
Were you surprised by how many messages you were bombarded with? Because I remember you texting me after the show went out and you were just like, I'm getting so many messages from people just like telling me their stories and stuff. Were you expecting there to be that kind of reaction?
Yes, I was, because I felt like this wasn't spoken about, because, you know, I've seen it a lot on the news about like how workers at Honey Burdette, for example, are treated. And I feel a bit like, there's this air of nobody cares because they're fat. We can treat them badly because they're inherently bad people because of their bodies, and that they get away with their bullshit, like, because people don't see us as worthy human beings at the end of the day. Like, that's the line in the sand. They're like, well, they're fat, so you can treat them like shit and nobody's gonna care. Mm-hmm. And until we start speaking about it, nothing changes. Like, nothing changes if nothing changes. So if we all stay silent and we feel like it's an us problem, that we deserve to be treated that way, that it was like, you know, we weren't the best employee or whatever they told us to make us feel bad about ourselves, then of course we're just gonna stay silent about it. But the thing is like, if we don't speak up about things that affect us, especially in marginalized larger bodies, mm-hmm. then we can't expect better treatment. And it is really, really hard. Like, I'm lucky I'm in a place where like I feel mentally strong enough to speak up about things and say, hey, the chairs in your restaurant like are too small for me and it's uncomfortable. Hey, you know, this really doesn't work for a body like mine. And not like feel attacked by feedback on that. So mm-hmm. you know, if I used to say to a brand, hey, like your clothes don't go up to my size, and they come back with, well, you know, we just don't have the demand. It's like, no, you have to create the product and then advertise it to us so that we know it exists. We can't just magically know. And if you make it online only so that we can't try it on, then you're saying we don't want you in our stores. We don't want to see you. If you make your change rooms too small for us, I'm looking at you, Portmans. If you make your change room so tiny that we can't even try on your curve range and you keep it online only because you don't want to have to accommodate different bodies, then you can't expect us to come to the table when the table is too small for us.
Yeah, it doesn't fit our fat asses to begin with. How are we meant to be at the table? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like, I need a wide seat. There's a lot of all of this, you know? I like to describe myself as juicy. And you know, you can't want our money but not want us to participate.
Yeah, yeah. You can't then be embarrassed that we're in your store and you don't want others to visually see fat people in your store. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't show fat, happy people. Like, you know, the models always look so serious. And just, yeah, like as a photographer, the photoshopping that I see on plus size campaigns, like City Chic, just, I fucking got an email from them the other day. Everything's blown out. Everybody's skin is perfectly smooth. Everybody has a flat stomach. It's like, come on, guys. Like, we've been asking for this for over a decade and you just keep doing the same shit. Like, bodies, skin has texture and we want to see that. Like, I want to see how it looks on a body like mine. I love websites like ASOS where they'll upload a video of somebody walking in a garment, because then I can go, okay, my belly is like this and this is how the garment's moving, so that's going to work for me or it's not going to work for me. Like, I think that they're forgetting how much visual input we need so that we can figure out if it's going to work for our bodies. And I find it really frustrating how many people haven't, you know, kind of, companies haven't kind of come to the forefront, you know, that they're not going, this is how you can figure out if this will suit your body. They're just going, this is it. This is what your size. Here's your moo-moo. And I love a muumuu. Give me a bag with pockets. I love comfort.
but not like a $120 muumuu that its style has been recycled for 5+ years.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing is, you know, places like City Chic will claim to be fashion first and plus size second, but then they don't change their designs. Yeah. It's straight up lie. It's money first before anything else.
And you know what is the really disappointing thing is that if any of these small businesses that we just love and adore, these plus size businesses that have put so much effort in making sure they're size inclusive, making sure that like for example, Peach the Label is a good example. Like, the owner will often go into her Instagram stories and actually ask her followers, what do you actually like? What styles do you like? What do you actually find comfortable? She doesn't have to do that, but she does it because she wants to be able to create garments, create clothes that actually is catered to her audience. And I just see so many small businesses do that, that put in such effort.
Yes.
But then you have City Chic. And they have all the money. They have so much money that they don't put the effort into actually ask what we want.
Yeah, they're very removed from the customer experience. So, like, for me, like, with my photo shoot clients, I'm always saying, like, what do you want to see from me? What could I change? What would you want me to do differently? Yeah. Are you liking the way that I deliver albums? Like, I'm asking for that feedback from my wonderful clients, because the customer experience is so important to me. And that's how you retain clients. That's why they want to work with me. And it's the same with brands like that, like small handmade brands or small run. They're often saying, like, what do you want? Because they're so connected to their customer experience. And then you've got, yeah, big companies like that where they're so removed from their actual everyday customers. You know, they're not even asking for feedback on like the fabrics. What kind of fabrics do you like, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then we're having to look elsewhere to get what we want. And that's very tedious. Like, I think people, you know, everybody wants to talk shit on like Shein and places like that, because obviously it's not sustainable, and we don't want to be causing fashion pollution 100%. But it is, I think, when you have such little choice and you cannot find what you want, sometimes it feels like the only place to turn to buy a basic cotton summer dress that fits you. And, you know, that, and you can buy it in your price range. And yeah, like Kmart and that sort of stuff are coming, you know, more and more, it's more available. But like, as somebody who is a stress shopper, like scrolling clothes is one of the ways that I like soothe myself.
Yes, that is a hobby. Yes.
And I'm going to scroll clothes. And yeah, so for me, I'm always looking at like what's new, what's coming in. And I read carefully what the fabric is made of, because I know what works for me and what suits my body. Yeah. And I think that I definitely love to support small businesses, but I 100% understand why a lot of plus size people turn to brands like Shein, because they just want the accessibility. Yeah. Like they literally just want to be able to access the most basic needs. And I don't judge anybody for that. Like I had a lot of people messaging me saying, sorry, you know, that I shop at City Chic. And I'm like, don't feel bad. I know that you don't have another option. I know that often they are the only plus size store in a whole shopping center. I know how that feels. Like I fucking have to cave and shop with them sometimes too. And it's not that, it's not what I want to do, but it feels like what I have to do because of the size of my body. You know, like I think it was like Bras and Things, they did like this whole like bigger cup sort of advertising, and I could find a bra that sort of fit me in Bras and Things. The size 22 undies, I could not get past my knees, and that was the biggest size that they did. And I was like, this is why, one, why would you make underwear with no stretch, and two, like that is so inaccessible. And I know that most brands across the board, I wear a 22 down the bottom. So why aren't they checking to see if that actually fits size 22s, you know? Yeah. I found that really frustrating. Like they had for Valentine's Day, these like $79 sets, and they had these beautiful bras, and I could get a bra to fit, but I couldn't get bottoms. And then I'm like, why am I being excluded? Like, it's not fucking fair. I just want a slutty G-string.
Like, yeah, we have the money to get the sexy lingerie that we want, yes, but it's just like no one's giving it to us. And
I love buying lingerie, like I absolutely love it, and have quite a bit for it. Technically it's a business expense. Yeah, I feel like that's something that I'm searching for quite a bit with plus size brands, is actual like nice lingerie. Like I have bought some lace G-strings and stuff from some brands, and they literally feel like sandpaper. Like I get that it's something that you put on and then it's getting taken off immediately. I couldn't go out to dinner, you know, on a date with this on. I was being rubbed raw from the back before any action even happened.
Oh yeah, look, no one wants a chafed asshole, okay? No one wants that. I am not willing to sacrifice my asshole for a lacy G-string if it ain't gonna fit right and feel right. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, that I find so frustrating. Oh.
Yeah.
Did you receive a lot of messages about the episode?
I received so many messages. Like, what firstly was funny was people firstly messaging that hadn't watched the episode, and they were just like, oh, what's wrong with City Chick? Did I miss something? And I was just like, oh, bless you, honey. Just listen to the episode.
Just listen.
And read the comments that's coming in right now, because what was actually really nice was so many people were just like, oh my God, yes, I could write an essay about this. I can write
dissertation.
Dissertation. Yeah. My university graduated us. We're educated queens. Can't say. What's that? Dissertation. I'm so glad I'm graduating university.
I could write a freaking PhD on how working in retail is designed to keep you poor, like to keep you bottom rung. Because it's very visual based. Like, it was literally in our contracts that we had to wear makeup. So you're buying makeup, shoes, accessories to go with new clothes, and the clothing that you're trying to sell to customers. You're not allowed to wear things that aren't available in store, and you're on minimum wage. How are you supposed to build wealth? Like, they and yeah, sorry, I can go on.
That related to me so hard, like the way you were talking about the, and again, people that haven't listened to this episode, please listen to the previous episode, but we will touch on, you have to always buy the latest clothes when you work in retail. And this isn't just with City Chic, this is with a lot of places. And I think this is why there's such an issue with retail, why so many people are traumatized by retail, why so many people leave retail, and why so many people, like you said yourself, were stuck in a poverty cycle. Because they just expect you to buy clothes again and again and again, because it always has to be the latest clothes, the latest stuff that's in. And I hate it when people just say, oh, but it's like a uniform. A uniform, you just buy at the beginning and that's it.
Yeah. And uniforms are durable.
Yes.
And how often have your clothes from City Chic fallen the fuck apart?
Fuck, man.
Your bra wires have broken out. Like, you know, and how many people return jeans because the thighs would literally rub out of them? And that's not a client's fault. Like, that is a strategic business decision.
Because, for them to,
yeah.
Because they know there's no other physical plus size stores people can go to. And the only place that they can go to actually try and close again is City Chic. So they have to go back there again and again and again anyway.
Yeah.
Like, because like, for particularly with the bras, that was a lot of the messages I got, people saying like, oh, I hate City Chic, but I just go there for the bras because.
For the bras, yeah.
Nowhere else fits me. And with bras, because for so many plus size people, they do. Their boobs are just all over the place where you're plus size. They can either be, they can be up high, they can be sagging, they can be under the pits like mine, they can be small, they can be big. When you're plus size, your boobs can just be every shape there bloody is. So you have to try it on. You can't just get it online. So that's why so many people go to City Chic.
A lot of people do go there for the bras because, yeah, you can't really go to bras and things. Like, it may literally be the only place in our shopping center. And buying bras online is a big fucking gamble. Like, and you can get it and it'd be like, oh, it's okay, but I can't wear it every day. One of the things that I hated about working there is how much we were encouraged to tell people that, you know, because their breasts were lifted, their waist looked smaller, and then they should wear shapewear to smooth it all out. So there is this element of body shaming, like where your breasts naturally sit is never okay. And when you've got bigger breasts, I feel like there is a lot more of a stigma for going braless. Like, I would have friends with little boobs and they'd be like, yeah, just, you know, free tit it, free the nipple sort of thing. And I'm like, when you do it, it looks cute. When I do it, I look homeless. Like, you know, so that there is a certain amount of privilege in that they don't have to wear the same amount of garments. Like, at the moment, I have little anti-chafe shorts on because I was wearing a dress earlier. And just being able to walk, it's like I need an extra layer just to be able to get around, but then I'm hotter and then I'm sweatier and then you're like, oh, I'm the sweaty fat person. And it, you know, it's hard not to get into your head about those things. Instead, I'm like, I don't want my body to have a rash, so I'm wearing this to protect my legs. And that it just like reframing that sort of thing. But it does get frustrating to go like, so much isn't designed for me. Like, I personally can't wear mini dresses because I got a bit of a dump truck and dresses will just go up at the back, like my ass will be out in a few steps, and that's just how she is. And so it is really frustrating when you see like mini dresses, and I want plus size women to wear mini dresses, please put them on. But yeah, I just personally, I always have to pull it down at the back a little bit because it's just the shape of my body. Like, and I can't wear dresses with like a zip down the back because my butt will push it up and create this weird duck tail effect. And there's just so much thought that has to go into what can I actually wear that suits the shape of my body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an extra bit of mental load that plus size people have to go through. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we won't shut up about we need more plus size stores or just stores that cater plus size garments, clothes for us. That's why it's so important.
Yeah. Like, I had a friend who was looking for pole outfits because she's plus size and doing pole and twerk classes. And she found a brand that she really loved. And it said that, you know, they will make your size if you send them your measurements and stuff like that, which in its own way is great. But it feels unfair when every other size you can just order, you know. And so I understand how they're trying to be inclusive in one way, but you're also making us go that extra step, making us feel like an inconvenience and that, you know, everything has to be specially made because we're so big. And it's like, I love having things specially made for me if that is what that business does, but when you can see that everybody else can shop so easily and you can't, it's really downheartening. Like, it's not actually the step towards inclusivity that they think that it is. Like, if you extend your sizes, just extend your sizes, you know, like, don't make it that we're still othered. It was really upsetting.
Yeah, like, why do our bodies always have to be the exception and always have to be treated like it's this big complicated thing you have to deal with? And and even with City Chic, they are the same. They treat our bodies like that. And something I do want to touch on, because I want to take us back to City Chic, because there are some topics that I do want to touch on that we didn't a chance last time. And change rooms. We need to talk about the change rooms.
What is with the lighting? Why do I look like I'm in a horror movie?
My issue, so we both worked at City Chic. We both had to deal with customers in the change rooms. We would both spend a lot of time in the change rooms. Why is it that a store that's meant to be catered to plus size people, why is it, one, you create change rooms that are so freaking tiny that you can barely fit two people in there? Because you have to fit two people in there, because the staff at City Chic often will be able to fit you with bras. So, you know, you have to often have two people in there.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're happy to get your tits out in front of the whole store. I personally don't give a fuck, but most people have a bit of respect and don't want to get their tits out.
I'll be there, yeah.
And secondly, this was always my biggest complaint whenever I worked in the City Chic stores, and I worked in multiple. The heat from the lights, because the lighting was so intense, which, like you said, always makes everyone look terrible. It's like this bright, deep yellow lighting. The heat would just make everyone sweat. And that's horrible. Like, already you feel claustrophobic already because you're in this tiny little space in your plus size body, and then you have this light beaming down on you that is just so hot. And there's no chairs in there, no chairs in the actual room, which is very fat phobic and ableist, because put my frustrations into words for me.
Multiple stores, and one of the stores that I worked at had massive change rooms that didn't have curtains. They had big doors, and they were like a small bedroom, so that was great. From a loss prevention point of view, not so awesome. But yeah, the newer stores, I don't know why, because they're trying to make this like moody, sexy thing. I'm like, I want to see what I am trying on, like the weird overhead lighting that causes massive bags under my eyes. Like, I would literally like feel so much worse about my body because of the lighting. Whereas if they just created lighting around the mirror, like you do with like makeup mirrors and stuff, how much fucking better does everybody look? And it's so easy. Like, you can literally buy that shit from IKEA. But because they care more about the aesthetic style of the store than the actual customers. Like, I won this competition years ago. This is like back in fucking 2014 or something like that, to go to like this flagship store that was opening in Sydney. And the store was so dark and it just didn't make any sense. Like, you couldn't see the garments properly. Like, why would one thing be directly under a light and then the next thing be dark? Like, why do you want plus size people to exist in the shadows? Like, and it is like, it's very hands-on. Being in the change rooms with people was actually my favorite part of my job. I love showing people that care and consideration and letting them know that their body is absolutely okay. Because you know, when you're in the change room with somebody, how much they apologize for their bodies. So they'll say, sorry, I'm sweaty. Sorry about my acne. Sorry about that you have to help me. You know, they would just, because they were feeling extremely vulnerable and very exposed, they would really unveil like how they truly felt about themselves. And often that was where the real work on their self-image happened for me. So, you know, being able to turn that around and to get somebody to see themselves as beautiful, maybe for the first time in a long time, I have goosebumps thinking about it. That is what I carry through to the work that I do now as a photographer. Like, even when I'm doing my photo shoots with people, if they're struggling, you know, to get their lingerie to sit properly, like, that brings me back to being in the change room with somebody, letting them know there is nothing wrong with their body is normal, and that there is nothing that they have that I have not seen before. Literally any combination of body parts, I have seen it in a fitting room. That I feel like there's an opportunity in that space that they're not getting into, like, the deep trauma people have about trying clothes on. So many people will avoid it because it feels depressing for them, because they're not finding anything that fits. I've done that, where I've gone and tried on nearly everything in a store and walked away with nothing and just in tears because nothing is fitting me correctly or not working for me. And then I've also had experiences where the staff went above and beyond to find things that would work for me and would get me what I wanted, and I left feeling incredible. And that is a really important experience. And that's not necessarily about how much money that client spends, it's how they feel about themselves. And if people feel empowered and see themselves with love and with fresh eyes, then they're going to come back to your store. But if you make it a dark, horrible, hot change room where they don't feel celebrated and they just want to get the fuck out of there as fast as they can, how can, like, that's putting unfair pressure on the staff, it's putting unfair pressure on the client. Like, it literally makes no sense to me.
Yeah, they just, this is why it's not surprising that the head of City Chic is a thin white man. Of course, yeah. He doesn't know what is good for the plus size community, what is good for women. Like, of course he doesn't. And that is why it's just, it does make me so happy to see that there are so many amazing small businesses out there that actually have a face to the brand. And it is someone that's actually plus size, like, that's catering for the plus size community, or someone that's a great ally that advocates for plus size people. It's actually women, or it's genderqueer people. Like, it's just, I think people just need to realize, like, that's what happens when you support businesses that is just a faceless person, and they just don't get it at all.
They really, really don't understand how that feels. And it really, it's almost like a fucking abusive relationship with a brand in a way, because it's like, you have to keep going back because they're the only one who has anything close to what you want or need, but you don't want to support their business. And then you don't want to be in their stores because you're either being pressured to buy things, change rooms, hot and uncomfortable. Like, it's just, everybody has to work so hard just to get clothing for their body.
Oh, I do think there is something that does need to change, like, in the retail industry in general, though, because we did touch on this in our last interview in regards to how, as staff members at City Chic, we're not allowed to sit down, we're not allowed to drink water in front of customers. And I had some thinking about this, and I realized that not only is that incredibly fat phobic, because as plus size people, a lot of us, there is more weight that we're putting onto our legs, on our feet, on our knees. And when we're not allowed to sit down and we're on our feet for 8 hours a day straight and constantly standing and not able to ever sit down, God forbid a customer sees us sitting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like,
God forbid they know you're a human being. Like, fuck off. Oh, I remember once being like on my break and having like a handful of M&Ms, and I was walking around the store and I was just joking with everybody about my healthy breakfast and stuff. And it's like that little bit of humanity, you know, brings you closer to other people. Whereas like when I worked at the Meijer concession, that was the worst 18 months of my life. And I had to get like a doctor's note because I was pregnant and needed to sit down because I had an extremely high risk pregnancy. And then I was seen as an inconvenience. And I literally had like a phone call from my regional manager saying, "You're pregnant, not disabled." And I was like, pregnancy is one of the most dangerous times for your body. It's so like, just the behavior is so ableist. Like they want to celebrate our bodies, but then they push them to the absolute brink. Like, the back pain and leg pain that I used to live with and now don't have at all anymore from working there, it's like they don't, I hate that we're not treated as human beings. Like not only are we dehumanized because of the size of our bodies, but then we're also dehumanized as workers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I just think like, yeah, City Chic and just all retail stores in general. Yeah, actually, sorry. What that's with City Chic, it seems to be that the staff they hire though is only the acceptable kind of fat. It's the fat, it's plus size people that can handle being on their feet 8 hours a day without having the need to sit down. And if you really think about it, like then there's just so many people in certain bodies and then also disabled bodies then that never can work in not just City Chic but in just all retail stores, because retail is just so demanding in the fact that you can't possibly sit down in front of a customer or drink water, which
there's a lot of heavy lifting too that like you just like expected to do in your fashion shoes in your chiffon dress, like that's probably gonna rip because you're opening cardboard boxes and stuff, you know what I mean? It's like you have to be dressed as if you're going to a cocktail party but also be able to like do manual work. It literally made no sense. And we did have people who applied for roles in our stores. And like we, like one of the stores that I worked at had had two full-time staff on at all times. And even then was still not hiring anybody with a disability. I had several like customers come in and say, "I applied, but you know, I have this disability or I need to sit down," or like, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's like, they could have easily been at the register providing that kind of customer service, but that just like they would just exclude them for their bodies. And you can't claim to be inclusive if you don't want to make accommodations for the variety of bodies out there. Like the amount of customers who came in who had I'm going to try and say this word right, lipoedema, which is a condition where I think it's like fluid and possibly fat buildup in the legs. It's extremely painful. It hurts to stand for long periods of time. And we would literally be the only place that they could buy pants that fit them, especially because a lot of it built up around the ankles, you know, where we had like boot cut jeans. So they could actually wear jeans because everything would be, you know, skinny, tight leg. And that was just so sad that like they were excluded based on something they literally can't control. Like that's what having a disability or a chronic illness is. And then they're just kind of like, no, well, we can't push them to the brink of their mental and physical well-being for this $20 an hour job, so no. And it's just not like, I don't want them to have to work there because I don't want them to be abused, but at the same time it's really fucking unfair when they're already excluded. Like discrimination in the workplace because you're plus size is fucking everywhere. And then to from the brand that's supposed to like love you and support you, that's a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like it literally, as soon as you walk into the store, you literally see right up to your face, when you see the staff, you see how this store just only allows and only wants a certain type of fat person. You have to be someone that can stand on your feet all day. You can't be someone with a disability. You can't be someone that's, God forbid, pregnant. You can't be someone that's above a size 24, size 26, because then you can only get clothes online. And if you can only get clothes online, then you can't wear anything in store, because when you're on the store floor, you have to be wearing clothes that's in the store, which is then buying clothes every 3 weeks. So then you're in a
constant problem cycle. And you'd have to pay full price.
Have to pay.
You can't use your staff discount to buy 2XLs because you'd have to buy them online at full price, return them in store, and then buy them at your discount. And then, you know, you're going to be told off because why have you got returns on your KPIs? Like, it's literally like they make it so difficult to exist in the larger end of the spectrum with their sizing. And they don't even have that inclusive sizing. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, like a good plus size brand should go to like a 28 to 30. Mm-hmm. I know some people wear like a 32, mm-hmm. and it's like it's not like you see them and think, oh, you know, like, of course, nothing with they are a normal person who deserves clothing that it's suits their style, that they can express themselves in, like, not just like the most plain, basic, ugly, floral t-shirt that says Milan on it. Sorry about my dog, he's on Paw Patrol.
He heard City Chic and he's like, I'm raging now.
Yes,
this is my time to shine. So I to finish up with City Chic, because obviously, like last time, we can rant a long day about this, my dear. I want to give you a fact that I read about City Chic right now. I think it's a great summary of why this place is trash. And it's a great let summary.
Huh? You were like, let us all bow our heads.
Let us all bow our heads. And this is what happens when you treat your customers, your staff, and the plus size community like trash. This is what happens. So in a recent report by thenews.com.au, they said that City Chic Collective has seen its value slashed by a whopping, now this is reported in January, by the way, value slashed by a whopping 89% as its share price plummeted from $5.03 at the start of 2022. It's now 53 cents.
Wow. Holy shit. Tom is a bitch.
So I know nothing about stocks, but to go from $5 to 53 cents in a year, even a dumbass like me knows that's bad.
That shows that people don't want to invest. Like, they don't see growth. And stocks can go up and down. Like, that's the same with any fucking company. But yeah, I would take a really hard look at myself if that was me. But, you know, self-reflection isn't their strong suit.
No, they're not really the best at that, are they? Like, I'm honestly so surprised that they're not putting an effort to change their ways, when clearly, since they care so much about money, and, you know, stocks are going bad, the businesses are... Oh, and the shops are closing down, firstly. Yeah. So I'm in Brisbane area, and one of the biggest City Chic stores, what were the big ones called? There was the big City Chic stores, and then there was the
little ones. Like Chermside was a big one, Carousel, Bourke Street in Melbourne, but I don't think that's a top one anymore. Yeah, yeah. There would always be like those flagship, like an A
flagship,
store.
Flagship, that's
yeah,
the word.
Flagship. Yeah.
One of the flagship ones in Brisbane shut down in Garden City. And that I remember, because I worked at Garden City, Carindale, and then a bit in Chermside. I remember Garden City was always like the one, like our competitor. We always had to go higher in sales against them. Or like, we'd be told like, oh, if you don't get higher than them, that's expected, because they're just so big. They make so many sales, and they shut down. And it's just like, you have all these stores shutting down. You have the stocks plummeting. You have all these people telling you, get your shit together. Why are they not self-reflecting right now and changing ways?
Yeah.
Like,
it's... Why are you selling the same dresses from 10 years ago? Like, you know, it just makes... And they're shit quality as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, I as a business owner myself, mm-hmm. if I'm not constantly looking at my business and thinking, how can I improve this? How can I make myself better? Because growth is important to me. Like, but that's obviously not their focus. And that's really fucking sad, because servicing their community should be the goal of a business owner. Obviously, Ben.
He's agreeing.
Yeah. Obviously, as a business, you want to make money. Like, that is a given. But there needs to be a goal outside of that, because money is an energy that comes from happy clients.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's another topic I really want to talk to you
about. Yay!
And this is very close to home for you. This is all about body positive photo shoots. And because I've seen this, do you call them body positive photo shoots, or is it like lingerie shoots, self-love shoots? What do you personally like to call yours?
I love all of it. Like, I call myself an empowerment photographer, because if somebody wants to go naked and that feels right for them, amazing. If they want to stay fully clothed and they still want to feel like a fucking badass, amazing. Like, so I call myself an empowerment photographer, but I talk a lot about how photo shoots are an act of self-love, and how as plus-size people, we often don't have a high self-worth or a high self-esteem. So yeah, that is something that's super close to my heart, and something that I talk about in like my VIP group, or when I'm keynote speaking, or on podcasts like this, because when you've lived in a plus size body your whole life, or maybe as an adult, or when you've developed an illness or a disability or something like that, you often are, because you're treated so badly, it can really affect your self-worth. And then we don't feel like we're worth spending money on, that we're worth nice experiences, that we're worth love and joy and happiness. And so sometimes people will look at a photo shoot as this big, extravagant, vain thing. And especially in larger bodies, if we love ourselves openly, obviously, that's very confronting for other people. And sometimes it can be scary to rock that boat. Like, people are quite, you know, taken aback sometimes, where I'm like, I really fucking love my body. And they're like all of it. Like, and I'm like, do my best to show her as much love as possible. Like, I'm a normal person. There are things about my body that, like, maybe I would tweak and I would change, but I make a constant decision every day to fucking love her. And that it's not easy, but it gets easier every single day, because it's a redirection of your thoughts. Like, I think of my thoughts like a train, and I'm a very, very neurodivergent person. So sometimes it can be hard to derail that train. But when I feel the train that's taken off from the station going, my body's shit, I put the brakes on and send her in the other direction so hard. And I'm like, babe, go look at yourself in the mirror. Look at that ass. Like, often it's the small things about our bodies that people get really down on. Like, I know for me, I've struggled with acne. Like, I'm 32 now. I'm finally starting to have some clear skin days. Like, at 32, I'm finally getting them after having acne from like 11 years old. And I have lots of scarring from it and stuff. But it, you know, when somebody comes to me and they're like, oh, I've got a pimple on my chin, should I still come to my photo shoot today? I'm like, babe, that is like the tiniest. When you look at your body as a whole, it's such a small part of you, but mentally we make it like this big volcano. I know that I have done it, and I see other people do it. And it's like, we apologize for our bodies being normal. Like, everybody has pimples on their bum. Everybody has, you know, little goose bumpy skin bits, and like, and, you know, apologizing for our roles, or that we sweat, which is a response that we can't even control. And it's the same as like in change rooms, people will apologize for existing in their bodies. But when you feel that your body is worthy of love and of taking up space, that is such a huge shift. For a lot of people who've worked with me, they maybe never had a photo shoot before, and maybe never had anybody praise their body, because I might be putting you in positions you'll claim to have never done before. And they're like this. I'm like, don't act like you're not familiar. But it might be like you've never done that with the lights on, you know, for one thing, and like that you've never really seen yourself maybe how I am seeing you. So I love creating that experience for people and literally seeing their view of themselves and their body change in front of my eyes. Like today I dropped off a print and an album to a client, and I first photographed her 3 or 4 years ago, and she had been through cancer and had quite a large scar on her hip. And to her, this scar was the definition of her whole being. I have this massive scar. And through the photo shoot with me, she was able to see herself as a whole body, like not just an imperfection or a flaw. And it can be hard not to fixate on those things when you maybe have a skin issue or something like that, that you feel defines you as a person, or a disability, or, you know, even mental illness. Is like, it's very hard when you're dealing with depression to see yourself in any kind of positive light. And so what I love about the photo shoot experience for me is like, I always want people to have fun, and I want them to leave being like, fuck yeah, like I love myself so much. And I had this one client and I was doing a boudoir shoot of her at a hotel, and she had 6 children, and I was like, you're going to get pregnant with baby number 7 tonight. And then she booked another shoot with me and turned up pregnant and was like, this is your. And I was like, Shayla's an excellent girl's name if you're looking for she wrote cute stuff like you. I love that, like, that I get to see their bodies through so many changes and stages, and that we build this rapport. So like the client I was talking about earlier with her scar, the last few photo shoots we've done have been like cosplay and Dungeons and Dragons characters that she's created. And so it's like a way to express yourself fully, like let your freak flag fly, and also show yourself that love, that you're worth spending money on, that you're worth having an amazing experience, that you're worth like doing this for yourself. You get to buy, you know, whatever you want to wear. You get to feel pampered and adored, and that is how you should feel. You know what I mean? It's like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Once you've had a good one, like a good photo shoot experience, just like when you're in the change room at a clothing store and you know the difference between good customer service and shit customer service, when you have that good experience and you leave feeling like a million fucking dollars because you found clothes that fit you, that they reflect how you feel, that the lady who was working with you was being fucking incredible, making you laugh and stuff like that, is I take that and I make that my photo shoot. So because I have such a neurospicy brain, I have ideas all the time for different photo shoots. I'm often planning my ideas, my themes, a year in advance. And it's a way to love yourself from different angles, because like this week I'm launching my Heavenly Bodies photo shoots again. So for me, when I think of Heavenly Bodies, obviously I think of the planets and the stars, and I think about how our bodies are made of stardust. And that is what I'm bringing to these photo shoots. Like our bodies are celestial. They are important. They are of the universe. And we all embody that like power within us. So that I love showing people that they look exactly like the paintings of gods and goddesses that you've seen in a museum. That is your fucking body. And I want you to see yourself that way. And bringing that energy to a photo shoot, like obviously I shoot boudoir, I do branding shoots, I do all sorts of stuff. But when people come to me for my creative ideas, I think it's because they're seeing themselves in a new light. I just finished doing glitter bath photo shoots. So there's literally like filling up a big like pool and covering people in glitter, and then getting them to, you know, we season them with glitter like they're like a delicious roast chicken, and then yes! We rotisserie roll them. Start on your back, you're on your side, you're on your tummy, like we literally 360 like a delicious chicken cooking in the oven, and get the most amazing photos, you know, because who are, like, I don't know about other people, some people hate glitter, but I've always wanted to like smear myself in glitter and to see myself as that sparkly human who's allowed to take up space, who's allowed to shine as brightly as she fucking wants to. And creating that for my clients just fills me up in ways that I cannot even explain. So I'm doing those photo shoots again next summer as well, because they were just so good. But I love that I have built this community that whenever I get these ideas, they're excited for them because they get to have a new experience and experience a new level of self-love each time. Like, I'm planning my spooky shoots this year. It's going to be bloodbath. So it's literally going to be like smearing and dripping blood on your body.
Yes.
And I think of like, you know, in Game of Thrones, when Daenerys eats the heart, I want to try and create that sort of effect. And often when you live in a larger body, you see people do these amazing photo shoots, you see these influences and stuff, and it feels very unattainable. And I want people of any body shape, size, ability to feel like they can access my photo shoots, that their body is never going to be turned away. So I'm very open to all genders, all expressions. The posing that I do is very adaptable to each person. So I photographed people who, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. You know, they might have an issue with their spine. They might have a brain tumor. They might be extremely neurodivergent like I am. They might have issues balancing. Like, it's all able to be adapted. I'm never upset that somebody can't do a pose. I'm thinking, how can I make this work for them, you know, and show their body in maybe a way they've never seen it before. That's always my goal, is for them to shine, not to feel like, oh, I couldn't do that pose, so I'm not good enough. You are always good enough. And like, the fact that somebody's booked a photo shoot with me, I'm like, we are in love. You are now one of my wives. You are in the harem.
I love the energy that you bring to it. Like, it's not just a job for you. Like, this is your baby. This is your passion. And this is like your time to let other people shine. And I really just love that. And I think people that do photo shoots like you, like people that put in time to, like, as you said, make people see what their bodies can look like, see what their bodies can do. We fucking deserve that. Like, especially women, especially plus size bodies. We spend so many hours, probably days worth of our lives, hating our bodies, torturing it with these diets and toxic behaviors. We have spent so much money in our life, like, just destroying our body and hating on our bodies. So,
yeah,
of course, everyone deserves to put that little extra bit of attention on our bodies and be good to it. Do something good for it. Do something that'll make you feel good. And your shoots is a way people can do that. Like, these
shoots,
that's where they are, like, empowerment. Yeah.
Yeah. I love, you know, sometimes people will say to me, I wouldn't pay that much for a photo shoot. And I'm like, okay, no worries. You're not my ideal client. Like, I don't take that personally. Sometimes somebody will have a photo shoot with me and, you know, that they might reveal something about themselves. Like, let's say it's an eating disorder. They might have been really struggling with like atypical anorexia. They're not eating, but their body is still a larger body and they don't feel believed and they're not able to access services. And then the next time I see them, they might burst into tears and say, doing the photo shoot helped me see that I deserve to eat, you know. And that is like, I got goosebumps again. That is the kind of value that you can't put a price on. And like, seeing so many of my clients go through that journey, and like, we all, you know, sometimes when you're trying to heal your relationship with yourself and your body, it can feel two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And just being able to see that, like, that they're putting that love into themselves is just, I live for it. And I love hearing people's stories, and like, even just how following me or other creators, influences, how that has changed their relationship with their body. Like, I've made a lot of friends with the mums at my kids' school, and you know, I'm the weird mum. I'm loud, I'm covered in tattoos, I'm a big bitch, and I'm the only one with like bright hair. So I'm a lot for people. Sometimes people don't find me super approachable, especially when I'm dealing with my screaming children. But even then, it's like they'll say little things to me about their bodies, and or like, oh, I shouldn't be having this coffee today. And I'm like, babe, you deserve it. Like, you get to decide what you deserve, and you need to tell yourself, I deserve it. I deserve a body that feels great today. If eating this is what I need today, amazing, you know. And it's just those like little things that can really change your whole life, because they're derailing those trains of negative thoughts and directing them back to self-love. So there are times where I don't feel, you know, that good about myself, because I'm a human and these things happen, and it gets easier every time to change that thought into something positive and say, you know, I'm doing my best and I love what I do, and I'm trying as hard as I can, and I am worthy and beautiful exactly how I am. And you know, if we were all the same, life would be fucking boring. And the last thing I want to be is boring.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. Yeah. So on every episode of this show, as listeners will know, we share our fave fat-friendly finds of the week, which is brands, businesses that actually cater to the plus-size community. So, not City Chic. My dear Shayla Taylor, my human that enjoys rolling people around like they're rotisserie chicken and glitter. What?
It's a very technical photography term, a rotisserie chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh. That is going on your resume. I know how to put people in a rotisserie chicken mode and roll them in glitter. Now I'm really craving like chicken all of a sudden.
Oh, me too.
Oh my God. Okay. What is your fave fat-friendly finds of the week, my dear?
So I have been getting the cider ads for ages, and I was like, oh, they must be like Shein. So I didn't want to cave, but I kept seeing these like velvet play suits and stuff, and I was like, I think I'm gonna do it. And I actually have never had such a good clothing haul. Like, the quality is better than Shein. It was better than Pretty Little Thing. I would say it's on par with ASOS. I bought 5 items, and I bought a 3XL in all of them. I carefully read the sizing on each of them and how much stretch they had, but I ended up getting the same all across the board. Honestly, so impressed with the quality, so impressed with the fit. I was expecting to return all of it and be like, oh, this is shitty quality. It's like, for velvet items, it was like the nice quality velvet. They fit so well. Like, I'm maybe like a size or two bigger on the bottom than I am on the top, and just like loved everything that I got, and was absolutely shocked, and was like, damn, I am now I have to pay for everything because I don't.
Oh
yeah, like Cider Curve, I'm not sure on the sustainability and the ethics and stuff around it, but I was honestly shocked. I have never had such a good clothing haul where everything looked great. I tried on everything without a bra. My boobs looked amazing.
Yes.
I was living for it. I was feeling myself so hot.
Yes. I love it. I still need to take the cider plunge. I need to do it. Yeah. I really do.
I'm so happy with everything that I got from them. And like, everything was maybe like average about $40, but I was shocked at the quality. Like, I absolutely floored by it. And I hope that they stay that way. So if you've been seeing the ads, didn't know it, like how bad, like what it was going to be like when it came, way better quality than Shein. Way better.
Oh, I need to invest some time into Sada, because yeah, I always see the ads all the time. All right. Yeah. All right, this might be my way of you. You might be helping me take my cider virginity, my dear.
Oh, popping the cider cherry.
Well, recommendations. I know I'm meant to stick to one, but I have two. Firstly, I want to recommend Nala. They are the size inclusive underwear brand. And you might be recognizing that name because I recently did a story about them because they sent a tit on the Melbourne River.
Yes!
Which, if
free the titty!
I will support anyone that is willing to create a 10 meter long inflatable tit and send it down the Melbourne Yarra River. Yeah. Like, I will support that. Anyone that is willing to do that. Like, oh my God, give me all the boobs. Yes. Love it. Such a badass move. And they collaborated with the Instagram page Pink Bits, who I just love.
Oh yes, they're so wonderful.
They're amazing. Love them. So yeah, Nala, adore you, and just like tits up. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
And then my other brand I have to recommend, I talk about them a lot on my page, but I have to recommend them because I adore them, is We Are Golden Hour. They have this top. It's this top. And Lacey Jade Christie recently wore it on, I just saw it on Instagram stories and I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, I love her.
I need it in my life. It's like this mesh top and it's got like this red lips and it's biting, the lip is biting the lip kind of thing, but it's mesh, so it's like see-through-ish, but it's just so hot, and I just need it in my life, and yes. I have all these like bralettes I'm already imagining myself wearing underneath this.
I just
love that. It's just like, yes, sexy clothes for fat people. Yes please.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I know Dangerfield do a lot of like the mesh tops in the plus sizes as well, but I'm always scared, you know, because like I'm scared I'm gonna put a nail through them, you know, like a delicate fabric.
Yes.
When you're a big bitch and you're like, oh,
girl, I feel like I do that with my underwear, like if I'm trying to like pull out a wedgie, if I have fake nails, because normally I love my fake nails. If I'm trying to pull out a wedgie, I always worry I'm just going to, like, stab a hole and accidentally, like, stab my butt crack or something like that.
I've done it a few times. Yeah, mm-hmm. I always have, like, kind of, like, long, pointy nails. And so it is always a risk.
Yeah, it's the risk you're willing to take. Yeah. But, yes, that is our recommendations for the week. People, Cider, Nala, and We Are Golden Hour. I'll be putting it up in the show notes, the links, and also on the Instagram stories for Fat and Eyes, where I'll be sharing our Fae Fat Friendly finds of the week. I'll be sharing that in the Insta stories. But, yes, we are here to support any business that caters to the plus size community properly.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Help us be the sexy bitches we are. Yes.
It's so important that we're able to like showcase our own style. Like that's like, if you look at all the most popular plus size influencers, because they have a very unique style and that they are actively finding items that reflect that. Because fashion is just what is made for masses. Style is about reflecting you. And it's so crucial that people feel that they can develop their own sense of style that showcases who they are. I love it so much.
Yeah, me too. Because growing up, I just thought, whatever city chick was selling, that's my style, apparently.
Exactly. I was only in floral maxis for so many years. And then I was like, I actually don't want to wear these. But it's like, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome. It was my only option. I could wear it to work. Like, you know what I mean? Whereas now I never wear anything like that. So, yeah.
The peplum tops and the cold shoulder tops, they had us hostage.
they really, those freaking drapey sleeve blazers. What did we call? We called the boleros sad boleros because you'd have a beautiful dress on and then you put the bolero and it just make it so sad.
Those boleros will always be triggering for me because you always had to upsell the customers even though they were feeling themselves in their dresses, and you always, because the head office would always tell us, oh, make sure you upsell, make sure you always ask if you want to add a bolero to it. And it's just like, but what if they don't want to hide their arms? What if they look fucking gorgeous?
Yes, exactly.
Boleros would be triggering for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, sad boleros. And like, no hate to you if you like them or if you want to cover your arms. I just don't like it being mandatory. Like, you yes. have to cover your arms because they're big. It should be your choice about how much you want to cover or uncover your body. I love sharing my body how it is. I think it's so soft and curvy and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And but I used to cover it for years. Like, I wore cardigans all the time to cover my arms. Yeah. And it wasn't until like I had this Maya staff member, and she came up and we had short shorts on the mannequin, and she was like, why would they sell those for bigger girls? And I was like, because they want to wear shorts. And she was like, yeah, but that's so unflattering. And I'm like, but they deserve to wear shorts in summer. Like, it doesn't matter if other people don't like it. It's what they want to wear. And she was like, and you guys need to cover your arms up more. Like, why? Nobody wants to see like your flabby arms. And this is somebody who'd worked at Maya for like fucking 35 years. And wow. I was like, I think we have a different idea of what women can do with their bodies. Like, I'm allowed to wear whatever I want, whatever feels comfortable for me. And I remember making a choice to be like, fuck you to that lady, that I would never wear a cardigan into work again.
Yes.
Love it. Like, I love showing my body, but I wasn't always this way. Like, there are always baby steps. Like, you know, sometimes I see on these like TV shows, like, you know, Look Good Naked or whatever, people want to go from 0 to 100, just do the naked photo shoot. Sometimes it's like, you need to create that safe space mm-hmm. for people. And that's something that I talk about a lot with other photographers, is how to create a safe space for your client where they feel held, where they feel supported, where it's not like, yeah, just get naked. You know, that it's like, you can if you want to, like, no judgment from me. I know as a plus size person, I worry a lot about the smell of my body. Like, I think because there's a lot of this, like, if you're fat, then you stink. Like, that's a very much a thing in pop culture. And that's something that I can really struggle with. But now I'm like, fuck it. Like, how my body smells is like natural. Like, you know, vaginas don't smell like fucking lavender fields. They smell like a vagina. And like, and so for me, I'm like, there's always new levels of embracing and loving myself that I'm trying to reach at all times. And that is because it's like, there's no other way for me to exist. And then and to be able to help people wherever they are in their stage of their journey, whether it is just not wearing a bolero for the first time, I'm so happy to be there for them, whether it's having a photo shoot for the first time. Like, having a camera pointed at you is fucking intimidating, and I totally get it. I know when somebody points one at me, my brain goes empty. I forget all of the things that I know, and I need somebody to be like, you know, bring your chin down a little bit, or look over this way. Just those little instructions to help you feel at ease, or just say, hey, you're looking a little bit tense, just take a deep breath and let your shoulders relax. That can make all the difference to a photo shoot. And yeah, I love to be there for people no matter where they are on their journey. I think that that's so important as a photographer, to create that safe space, because you might be the second person who's ever seen them in a lingerie item in their life, or nude. Yeah. Maybe nobody's seen them naked ever, you know? So you never know what role you're playing in somebody's life. So that's why I approach it with so much love. So much love.
I love that so much. Like, you're not just there to be a photographer. You're there to be their hype girl. That's what you
yes.
are.
Yes. I'm their hype girl. I'm their therapist. I'm, you know, their body image coach. I'm also taking fucking hot photos of them. The last photo shoot I did, the glitter bath one, she was doing so amazing. I just started screaming. Like, I couldn't even form words. I was just holding. I was like, calm down, because these are all going to be blurry from me shaking and screaming. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not afraid to be like, you are fucking killing this. You're doing so amazing. And like, some of us have never heard that kind of encouragement in our lives. So I always say to people what I would need to hear in that moment. Like, that's, yeah, I love to love on my clients.
I love it. Oh, where can people find you then, lovely, if they want more details about your photo shoots, your workshops, or just about you in general and your hype?
I'm most active on Instagram, where I'm shayla.photographer. So Shayla's with a CH. And you can see my nudes on there.
Oof, fan.
I have a workshop coming up. Probably will have been by the time that this comes out. But I'm planning on doing more posing workshops. So a lot of people come to me and are like, I don't know how to pose. And that is one of the things that I love to talk about, because, you know, we're not kind of taught how to stand in a photo. So I've got posing workshops coming up. I'm launching my Heavenly Bodies photo series. I'm going to be in Melbourne at the end of April and Sydney in mid-May, doing photo shoots over there. So hopefully I'll come to Brisbane soon and I get some juicy photos of you.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you come to Brisbane, you are so taking some photos of me, honey. Yes.
I love it so much.
I want to be your rotisserie chicken and rolling glitter.
Oh, yes. Such delicious, juicy chicken.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Shayla, for coming onto the podcast. As always, I just love talking to you. You're just such a joy. And I have a feeling so many people are just going to have the biggest smiles listening to this episode.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again. I love talking, if you can't tell. Talking to you is always so, so amazing. I'm so glad that we've connected with each other. It's the best.
Yes, yes. So that's why you need to come to Brisbane. I know I should. Yes, you need to come to Brizzy. Gonna have some drinks, and we're gonna, you're gonna take some nudes of me. That's all. Yes. That's the plan.
I'm probably gonna take some nudes of myself. Anytime I stay somewhere for like a photo shoot, I'm like, I may as well take nudes of me here too. So Airbnbs have had my butt all over them.
Yes. Oh, look. It's always good to have like a good photo album with nudes. So then, like, if you gotta send them out, then at least you're like, oh yeah, cool.
I know.
Don't have to put
it. I'm like, I fucking flip that Rolodex open. Like, what do you want?
What do you want? Do you want my tits from this year, 5 years ago? What do you want?
Literally, oh my God.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, lovely.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. I love everybody who's listening. You're hot and beautiful.
Yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to today's episode, our first episode back with a brand spanking new season. If you enjoyed the episode, can I ask a tinty-winty little favor? If you can leave a review, and also if you are listening on Spotify, hit follow, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe, just so then you don't miss out on our weekly episodes, which are out every Wednesday. And if you want more on the Fat and Eyes show, head on over to our Instagram at Fat and Eyes. And also, if you just want some general news that is not related to Rupert Murdoch funding it all and being involved in it at all, head on over to Kaleidoscope News as well. Thank you, everyone. I will see you all next week for another episode of Fat and Eyes. Bye. We at Fat and Eyes pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this land we record on today. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.